listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in on this Tuesday episode. We'll talk about Bachelorette filming. We'll talk a little bit about the Bachelorette guys, Jen's guys, on this season, where we're at in terms of who could possibly be eliminated. We've got people getting fooled by April Fools yesterday. I warned you, and yet people were still taking the bait on some of Bachelor Nation and their posts yesterday. I also have a dream to update you on. No, calm down. Nothing along those lines. Tori Spelling released a new podcast yesterday. We're going to briefly dive into that. And a show that I got the screener on that I know you're all going to be interested in. We will discuss that as well. And we'll get to all that momentarily. So let's start off with, as you know, in the off season, anytime there's any sort of Bachelor Nation or Bachelorette news, that's going to be first on the podcast. And there's going to be days where there's just nothing to report. I don't have a ton to report today. Everything I reported to you yesterday, filming started on Thursday at the mansion that they use for Listen to Your Heart. It wasn't at the regular mansion. We don't know if this is going to be permanent going forward, or because they only shot one episode in LA this season, that's why they used a different mansion. We don't know. We don't know the answer. The other thing we don't know the answer to is how long they are staying in Australia. There is a date today in Australia open to the public. If I find anything out, or pictures or video gets out, obviously I would share that with you, but we just don't know. And as I told you, there is a public date today and there's a public date on Sunday, which means episodes 2 and 3, since episode 1 was filmed at the mansion, episodes 2 and 3 are definitely in Australia because they go date, rose ceremony, and then date. And if there's a date on Tuesday that's open to the public in Melbourne and a date on Sunday that's open to the public in Melbourne, that means episodes 2 and 3 are definitely in Australia. And I told you yesterday, I saw in writing when someone was describing Jen's season, it says The Bachelorette in Australia. So maybe they're going to film most of their season in Australia before they head back to the States at the end of this month. They are going to be in a U.S. city that I'll update you on as we get closer. And, you know, then I don't know about overnights and final rose ceremony, but that's where we're at. There is a date today. And by the time you listen to this, it's already happened because Australia is 16 hours ahead of us. So who knows if I'll find out if anything happened on the date or, like I said, pictures or videos. I say this every season. You got to bear with me because there might be nothing that gets out overseas. It's happened numerous times where they're in international waters and nothing ever gets out. We never see anything. There are other times where stuff has gotten out. People see a group of women walking together. In this case, it'd be a group of men. Sometimes when the Bachelor's gone overseas, group of women walking together, they know to take it. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into whether or not something gets out when they're overseas. So it just has to be the right combination of things have to happen for stuff to get out. But there is a group date today that is open to the public that people could attend. So we shall see. But by the time you listen to this, it's already happened. So we'll see on that. Now, as for Jen's men, as I said, filming began on Thursday night at the mansion, the Hummingbird Nest Mansion is what it's called. And it was used for the Listen to Your Heart show. And as you know, when the guys went public when the guys were released on the Facebook page last Monday night, I think all but 3 or 4 had their accounts set to private. And we know a lot of people pay attention to social media clues and social media stuff. Usually they're pretty good in terms of the show telling the guys or the women, hey, you cannot, when you get kicked off this show, not kicked off, but when you get eliminated from the show, you can't just go on your Instagram account and go public or even stay private and add a bunch of people because people are following you. They're going to know you're gone. Well, I don't know if they just said screw it this season and didn't tell these guys that, because there are absolutely 8 guys since the cast was announced last Monday night. There are 8 guys who had significant changes to their Instagram account. So it makes me think 2 or 3 never even made it. Well, we know one didn't make it to the first night of filming, and that's Jonathan Hess, because he had gone public before Thursday night. after being private from Monday up until Thursday. I think he went private on public on Wednesday night. So he would never made the cast. And then there are significant changes in followers. So as I say, you can never 100% say base something off social media. But when you look at these men and you look at this season, it's a little obvious that you can just put an asterisk or a note next to certain guys that, hey, probably got eliminated the first night. You got Brendan Barnum going from 936 followers to 1,119 followers. It's like you're not adding 200 followers unless you were eliminated because you wouldn't have your phone. So, and he's still private. Or he might have gone public. He might have been one of the ones that went public. Corbin Caldwell went from private to public. My guess is he either got eliminated the first night or never made it to the first night. Dakota Nobles added 200 followers from when he was private on Monday. Jahan Ansari added 200 followers since he was private on Monday. Mose Smith added 500 followers. Ricky Marinez added 200 followers. And Sam McKinney added 500 followers. However, Sam McKinney is somebody that I believe was one of the three or four that did not, when the guys were released on Monday, had not changed to private. He is private now, so what I didn't do was write down what his number was when he was still public. So it's very possible that when I screenshot him on Monday at 2,153 followers, and now he's at 2,613 followers, those 500 could have been added from the time he was announced and everybody saw his Instagram page and just added him because he was public at the time to when he went private. So I'm not saying that Sam McKinney is out just yet because I didn't write down exactly when he went from public to private, because he was public when I put his Instagram handle out there. So a lot of people just probably added him to go up 500 like that. Mose Smith was also somebody that I believe actually, now that I think about it, I believe Mose was public too on Monday. No, looking at Mose, he was not. He had, when I posted his Instagram handle, he was at 2,646 followers. Now he's over 3,000, so pretty sure he is gone. So, yeah, the other one that happened yesterday, so he is probably a first night elimination, is Hassan Joseph from Denver, Colorado, because not only is he public, he posted, he was hiking yesterday at Red Rock on his Instagram story. So, yeah, so he's gone. He has not, he's added about 30 followers, but he's now public, and he was sitting there at private, and he posted on his Instagram story that he was hiking yesterday at Red Rock. So, assumes Hassan Joseph got eliminated the first night as well, or he's off the show for who knows what reason as you do your internet research. So that's your latest Bachelorette info. Like I said, if I hear anything in regards to today's date that's already taken place in Australia, I will update you on it. Okay, got to chide some of you for yesterday. I gave you the warning. I said there's going to be people in Bachelor Nation and there's going to be websites and even Instagram accounts that post bogus stories to get you to go, oh my God. And what do you know, Becca Martinez, for the 500th year in a row, got a lot of people by saying that she was going to be on season two of Couple to Thruple. By the way, Couple to Thruple is actually a show. I did not watch season one. I don't care to watch it, but she did a very good art job to make you think that she was on season two of it. And a lot of people believed it because it got sent to me at least 10 times. So you fell for that. You fell for Tyler Cameron having an OnlyFans. There were a couple other ones. Oh, that Dylan from Hannah and Dylan that you thought he was running for city council. There's that one. So, yeah, just a lot of, hey, I gave you the warning. It's like You know what's funny, though, is that because of so much misinformation going around the internet, it's like yesterday is a day where everyone, at least most people, went into the day thinking, okay, any story I read today, I have to read with a critical eye because it might be an April Fool's joke. Whereas the other 364 days out of the year, nobody thinks that way when they see a story online or see a clickbait headline and automatically believe it. Like, it only takes the one day of the year where there's pranks that are supposed to be allowed for people to actually critically think about stories and headlines that they see on the internet. Should be every single day we look at stories and headlines and actually realize, wait, where is this coming from? What's the motivation? Who's posting this? And does the headline actually match the story? It is kind of sad that we have to wait until April 1st every year for people to do that and critically think, but that's the society we live in now. I wanted to update you on something that happened in my life. It happened two nights ago. Actually, three nights ago by the time you're listening to this. Friday night into Saturday morning. I had a dream. It was not a Martin Luther King Jr. type dream. It was not one of my four staple dreams that I have, which I've talked about numerous times. The four most recurring dreams that I have, which are, I'm getting to the end of senior year of college and I realize there's one class I haven't attended. I'm still in radio and I crack open the mic and I just can't think of anything to say. I am at a stand-up club and realize I'm going on next and I don't have any material. And then something to do with my high school basketball career. Those are the four recurring dreams I have the most. There might be one that's cracking that top four, or I might just change it to a top five now. And that's usually me involved in something along the lines of Bachelor Nation. Well, it happened again Friday night. And it was, in my dream, I was being announced as the next, no, not the next Bachelor, the next Golden Bachelor. And I'm like, and you know, it was 3 days ago. And if you don't write a dream down right when you wake up, you pretty much forget all the details of it. So I don't remember the details. I just remember being contacted by the show. And I was like, you're kidding, right? Like, you guys hate me. Why are you making me the Golden Bachelor? I didn't even apply. And they're like, we think it's great. You're the right age. We don't want to go into the 70s this time. You're close to 50. And I'm just in awe that I'm even speaking to these people and they want me as the Golden Bachelor. And then we were just going, and I just remember talking to them back and forth. I don't remember the details, but I was negotiating, because knowing how I know this show works and how they edit things and how they hate me, I'm like, this is a setup, right? You guys are doing this so you can make me look bad. And you're doing this so I won't spoil the show anymore, right? And they're like, no. We actually really like your stuff. Like, they were telling me that they didn't care about my spoilers, which for the most part, I don't think they do. They know it's free advertising for their show. They don't like me giving away the ending. But the other stuff, I don't think they ultimately care about. But yeah, it was just kind of this back and forth. And ultimately, I just told them, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. I'm not doing this. And I turned them down. I'm like Maria Gorgas. I just said, no, I'm kidding. No, I turned them down and I didn't. So I will not be your next Golden Bachelor for anybody that was hoping that I was going to be. No, it's not happening for your boy here. So one of the podcasts that I've talked about over the years that I've literally never listened to, but I think I talk about it a lot for a guy who's never listened to it, was the 90210 OMG podcast, where Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling have started recapping every episode going back to season one. And from everything that I've read about it, it's just not very good, because neither of these two remember anything about the show. They're not very good. Jenny is completely forgetful. She knows nothing about the show. They don't offer any insight. And that's the whole point. If you're going to listen to a rewatch where people are actually recapping some of your favorite shows, you want to hear them like go in detail or give in-depth stories about particular episodes. These two apparently offer nothing. And not to mention their producer on the show apparently is god-awful, who I've dealt with in the past and did not have a good experience with as well, Amy Sugarman. You know, it's in the past. It's a while ago, over 5 years ago, but just did not have a good experience with her. But she is the producer or the third host on that show. Anyway, I've talked about it enough to where she's, you know, this podcast, like I said, as much as I love 90210, I was wearing my Ray Pruitt Peach Pit shirt yesterday out to lunch. It's just something that I can't get into if I know that these two aren't into it, which is disappointing. So it comes out yesterday that Tori Spelling, if you didn't see over the weekend, she officially filed for divorce from Dean McDermott. Well, then she launched a podcast yesterday called Miss Spelling. M-I-S Spelling. Miss Spelling. You get it. And it's almost like she did this, like this was all planned out, because she filed for divorce Saturday and the podcast yesterday was her literally talking about filing for divorce. So it was planned at the same time. Now, I did not listen to it, but People.com has a very detailed review of it. Well, not necessarily a review. They just listened to it and took the quotes that she said and verbatim, word for word, just put them in their story. And it was really interesting here because I didn't know if this was going to be, oh my God, Tori's having a podcast now and she's just going to shit on Dean and their whole marriage and how bad it was and all this stuff. And it was just going to be like this one-sided podcast. From all the quotes that I saw, which came directly from Tori's mouth in the podcast, it sounds like she's taking a lot of accountability for being just as bad in the marriage as she was. I mean, she literally said she has wanted to file for divorce for like 15 years, but she held back because she wanted to protect him from hurt and protect their kids. And she said, hey, I made it 18 years. I shouldn't have made it 18 years. And I think he would say the same thing if he and I had a real heart-to-heart. It would have been over a lot sooner. She said, according to her, the honeymoon period ended 4 months after they got together. And if you remember how they got together, they both cheated on their spouses at the time in 2005 when they met on the set of a TV movie. She said, we had this very quick, passionate, falling in love period. She called it a fast and furious romance and praised him for appreciating the side of her she rarely showed anyone. She said, quote, I just remember I could show him me. It wasn't like the cute, giggly, this is what people want me to be. I was able to be like loud. I could have a foul mouth. I'm not just Donna Martin, the perfect good girl. I could have some bad girl in me and it was okay. And he liked all those sides and he saw how smart I was and accepted me. But then she said there were red flags that she just didn't address early on. She said, everyone talks about red flags. I like saying that I just like to make dresses out of red flags and then proceed, which is actually a fairly funny line for somebody that's not like, oh no, she's accepting the fact that she avoided red flags or just never made those deal breakers. She said, I said from the beginning, it's going to be a lot. I've been told it's an emasculating road. And he was like, I can handle it. She said, I don't think he knew how big it would be, how big the life I was given and live is. I think he was like, oh yeah, things come and go. But with me, it never went. From the moment I was born, I was in the press. There hasn't been a reprieve from it. So you kind of have to be used to jumping on board with that world and getting through it and owning it. And I thought he was on board with that. And then she said, kids absolutely changed the relationship. She said, our relationship was never the same after we started having kids. We always said, we won't be those parents that change. We'll make sure we make our relationship a priority, the two of us. We have date nights. And everything went out the window. I became completely focused on the kids and kind of left him in a way. So again, taking responsibility for her role in the dissolution of her marriage. So maybe I will actually take a listen to this when I go on a walk or something, just because it'll knock some time out. And I want to hear her say this. But it really does seem, I guess, remotely interesting if she's going to take responsibility. Like, this is the first one. I don't sit there. I can't imagine I'm going to sit there every week and listen to her, because I can't imagine she's going to talk about this divorce every single week, because after a while, they're going to be like, okay, can we bring on a new topic or something? But interesting to hear that and to see the quotes and to hear what she's saying about the dissolution of her marriage. And finally, going to talk about this. It starts next Thursday on the CW. The first three seasons of it, as we know, were called F-Boy Island. The first two seasons were on HBO Max. Third season, which aired with Katie Thurston last fall, was on the CW. Well, as I told you at the time, they filmed F-Boy Island and F-Girl Island basically back-to-back last summer. Well, now F-Girl Island, which is what we know it to be, has been renamed. It's called Lovers and Liars, but it's the same exact show. It's Nikki Glaser as the host. There are three men, and there's 24 women on the show. 12 are nice girls, 12 are F-girls. And the thing is, I saw the screener. I watched it. It's exactly the same show, except the roles are reversed. Instead of three women leads and 24 men, it's three men leads and 24 women. But I watched the first episode, and it's exactly what you would expect. And the weird thing is, Nikki Glaser calls them F-girls during the show. So I guess my question would be, the biggest question I have is, why did they change the title? I'm sure it probably went through, this is a higher up deal, and maybe it went through focus groups, and they just didn't think that title was appealing or hitting with the younger audience or something. I don't know. But the goal is to get Nikki Glaser on the show either this week or next week on the weekly podcast. Hopefully she's coming. She'll be able to get her on. And, for a 30-minute interview to preview the first season of Lovers and Liars, which is essentially F-Girl Island season one. If you don't know, the three male leads are Benedict, who was on seasons 2 and 3 of F-Boy Island, CJ, who was just on season 3 of F-Boy Island and got dumped by, I'm forgetting the blonde one's name, Danielle, and then Casey, who they absolutely love, who was on seasons 1 and 2 of F-Boy Island. He is now on season 1 of F-Girl. So those are your three male leads. And then the 24 women are just as brash and as just as outgoing as the men that we've seen in the past on F-Boy Island. Because, you know, these guys are really hamming it up for the cameras. The reason why I like the show is because it doesn't take itself seriously at all. Nikki Glaser jokes on the men. She jokes on the women. And the women are pretty much, you know, trying to play the guys. There's already a couple of the women there that are turning on an ice girl image that have absolutely said, I'm an F girl and I'm here for the money. I want $100,000. Because we know that's how the show works. If you pick an F girl at the end, the F girl has $100,000 in her bank and she can choose to still split it with you or she can keep it for herself. But if you choose a nice girl, then you guys split $100,000. So, first episode, very good. Really enjoyed it. Hopefully we can get Nikki on either this Thursday or next Thursday to preview the season. Anyway, thanks all for listening. I really appreciate it. Please follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also, rate and review if you can. But you got to hit play. It doesn't do it good anymore to have it just download into your feed every morning. You have to hit play. So if you miss a day, please go back and hit play. It's the best way you can support this podcast. So thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. The Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now. Check that out. And I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.